Season 4, Episode 5, Where'd the Van Go? Sipowicz and Simone go to a hospital, where Sipowicz mentions that he has covered for Simone regarding a dog breeder. If you're confused about what that is, that's regarding 2 episodes ago. I think this is where a previously on NYPD Blue would be helpful, because they kind of skipped the whole story about Henry and Simone's building for last episode. But Sipowicz and Simone talk about how Sipowicz covered for the dog breeder that Simone talked to, and Simone reiterates that Henry admitted to owing Shylocks, but it doesn't make sense for a hit to be put out on him for a couple missed payments.
He finally has to come clean with all of his shit.
Because at the end of 2 episodes ago, he slowly admits to Simone, and then Simone, like, takes the information and tells him to, like, just shut the fuck up and I'll take care of it. And then they put that to bed because there is a prince and his wife. A prince and his wife who have been assaulted and robbed.
Uh-huh.
The uniform cop is watching the prince and his wife. And Sipowicz, as a joke, says, "You didn't pass any gas in front of the prince, I hope." The prince is played by a guy named Ian... Is it Buchanan? Yeah, Ian Buchanan, who I feel like I've recognized him. I think it might be from NYPD Blue, but I looked it up anyway. He has been on a lot of soap operas. He's been on The Bold and the Beautiful and General Hospital.
Why did you say hospital like that?
I don't know. Just to...
General Hospital.
To make it more dramatic, like the soap operas are. He tells the story that he was watching TV and the door was unlocked. 2 men came in for the robbery and beat them.
Where'd the van go?
Uh-huh. And they stole a bunch of really expensive paintings. And they beat his wife to shit because she resisted. And he's pretty cold about the whole thing. And so as they leave, Sipowicz tells the uniform officer, "See how he acts with his wife."
Yeah, he said, "See how he acts with his wife when we leave."
And Simone asks Sipowicz, "Do you like the prince for this?" And he says, "Any prince in the vicinity of a crime, I gotta look hard at." And that's the beginning of the episode, and the theme song starts. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where the Asher Brothers go through every single episode of NYPD Blue. I don't do this all the time, but my voice is Kirk, the other voice is Kyle. This is the theme song to NYPD Blue. I want to go over the James part of this episode first, just because I don't like it as much.
The Martinez of it all?
Yeah, James gets pulled aside by Shannon, because there was a fight in a beauty parlor between 2 women who are claiming to both be married to Jesse Ortiz, who is a cop in their precinct.
I thought this little story was actually kind of funny.
It is. It's funny. It's just kind of like, I don't want to go back and forth between this and the main story.
Sorry.
They got these 2 women in different parts of the station, and they don't want the sergeant to hear about it. So they want James to take care of it quickly under wraps, because he's the union delegate.
Normally this would be Vince Catelli's job.
But, you know, Vince Catelli was voted out for James Martinez, so now it's him. And the women who are married to Jesse Ortiz, this episode has a lot of famous faces, so everybody needs to strap in for all the famous faces we gotta mention. One of them is Judy Reyes, who is the second wife, and she's from Scrubs. She was on Scrubs almost the whole time, and she's been in a bunch of other stuff. His first wife is Margarito Franco, and you'd be like, "Kirk, I haven't seen her in anything." Well, you would be wrong, because she was in all of the Three Ninjas franchise.
Okay.
So Three Ninjas, Three Ninjas Kickback, and Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain with Hulk Hogan. And basically James calls in Jesse Ortiz and says, "Hey, what's the deal?" And he says, "Look, one of them's just my lady on the side, while the other one's my wife. It's no big deal."
It's no big deal, guys.
It happens. So James talks to both of them, and one of them, his apparently true wife, says, I just want his alimony payments, so I'm not going to make any complaints with the department. Martinez goes to the second woman, who has paperwork and pictures of a wedding.
Yeah.
So he goes back to Jesse and says, what's the deal? And he says, oh, no, I forged those documents. And that wedding was with a fake priest who was an actor, and it was basically just a big party with a cake.
Yeah, he ends up being, like, this guy ends up being, like, a total fucktard.
He's, like, an unbelievable scumbag.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Because his attitude is, like, I've never been in this situation, nor do I plan to be. But his idea of the situation is, hey, look, you know, sometimes you have a woman on the side, you buy him a wedding ring, you give him forged fake paperwork that says you're divorced, you plan this elaborate party that looks like a wedding with a fake priest, and then, when she finds out you're actually really married to another woman, they get all bitchy.
It's like, why would you get mad that, you know, I kind of just, like, fucked you over.
And he finds out also that he's been married to his first wife for eight and a half years, or 8 years total. So and then he's been with the second woman for 3.5 before getting married only 6 months ago. And there's one part that I wanted to highlight just because it was hilarious to me, where he's talking to the second wife, who's played by Judy Reyes, and she's like, look, there was a Jerry Springer episode about this very thing, and it was called Denial is Not a River in Egypt. And the face that James Martinez makes is a perfect blend of, I can't fucking believe I'm doing this, and yeah. I really wish I didn't go for Union Delegate. Because it's like this face of like, oh my god, what have I done? Why am I here? And I don't know, it was just perfect. Well, if you watch the episode for anything, watch for that moment where James is like, I can't fucking believe this.
Well, yeah, I don't think he really understood what it's like to be a delegate until that day.
You have to run errands and do dumb shit for the worst people in the world. So this Jesse Ortiz is like, look, just tell her it's fake. Like, just do this for me. Like, be my fucking running buddy, my bitch. So he tells the second wife again, he says, look, so all that was fake. Your paperwork's fake. The priest is an actor. You were never married. And she says, okay, I want an apology with her in the room so that she understands that I did not think that they were together. So they have this meeting with Jesse, his two wives, and James. And he apologizes, and then it gets out of hand because his real wife, his first wife, is like, yeah, she's basically a whore because she was fucking him even when we weren't fake divorced.
Yeah.
And then she says, oh, we're going to make those divorce papers real, and I'm going to be taking some of that check in alimony. And he's like, but I don't want to. I want to marry you. I want to keep being married to you. And she's like, yeah, that's great, and leaves. So then the other girl is like, are you okay, Jesse? And then Jesse looks at James and says, some delegate you are. And it's like, what the fuck? What? My job is to make sure that the union is protected, which I have done. Now you can go fuck yourself. And that's his attitude after Jesse says what kind of delegate you are.
I feel like in the beginning, both of these women hate each other, and they don't really, they're not really putting it on the man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, later on, I think they both realize, like, oh, this guy's a dick. And he's kind of like a jackass.
It seemed to me that what they were doing was the younger girl wants to stay with Jesse, but Jesse doesn't want to be with her. She was just side trim. And even his first wife had mentioned, oh, he's cheating again. He was upset that his real wife is leaving. And
yeah, because he never really wanted his wife to leave, you know.
And I think that's probably more money-based than anything. He's just a real scumbag. He's one of the scumbags in this scumbag-filled episode of NYPD Blue. But it ends with Martinez finally asking Gina out. He sees Gina after dealing with this nonsense and asks her out by the copier.
Oh, that's right. He still hasn't asked her out yet.
Yeah, he basically is like, hey, how's it going? Oh, work, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you want to go out and get some Italian or some Spanish food? And she's like, sure. So they get that set up, and then there's just a weird tag at the end where Greg and James are in the locker room, and Greg keeps talking about how he's losing weight. And James is like, yeah, well, I'm going on a date. And he's like, oh, cool, with Gina, fantastic. And then he's like, where are you going to take her? He's like, I'm thinking of Italian or some Spanish food. And he goes, he says, you know, it's perfectly feasible to dine sensibly with any of those options.
Yeah, it's so weird, like, his response. Like, it's just so weird. Such a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it was very confusing and weird to hear those words out loud after a dude's talking about going out with a woman.
Yeah.
Hey,
I think he's trying to say, like, yeah, that's a good meal, so if you guys try to fuck, you won't be all bloated.
You think that's what Metavoy said? You think Metavoy's thinking about the...
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought because Metavoy is so... It's so hard for him to ever read the room. He was thinking, like, hey, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, too, those are good options. What it's like, Metavoy, they're trying to get down on each other. They're not trying to lose weight. Back to the prints in the stolen paintings. When they run it with Fancy, Diane says there were moving guys who said they were doing a pickup for a museum and they walked out with the paintings. There's another weird Diane Bobby look in Fancy's office. They now have prints of the paintings, copies of what they look like, and they have to go to the art fencers, guys who buy illegal art, to make sure that they don't pick them up. They get some information that the prince was adamant about a do not resuscitate sign being on her ship.
Well, you also have to remember, they go back and,
Yeah, they mention what happens later when they go back to the hospital, but they were...
How the prince, like, freaks out and he's trying to unplug something, or he's trying to, like, pull out the fucking life support.
Yeah, he was trying to take out her respirator, because she was showing signs of response. So he was trying to unplug the resuscitator, which usually means he's trying to kill her. It's become clear that the prince is trying to get rid of her. They look into the van that was used, because they got a license plate off of people who saw the moving guys. And it belongs to a Donald Carter in Nassau. And they break, and Fancy goes to Diane to let her know that the undercover operations want her back to deal with a Jimmy Leary from her past.
Yeah, they want her to go back undercover.
Apparently he's into some cargo thefts.
And it's such an interesting time, too, because he and her and Simone are arguing.
Mm-hmm. We'll drive a further wedge between them. And she asks, oh, well, will I have to work out of their offices, or will I work through here? And Fancy, being the good boss he is, says, you think I'd let them take you away from here? You'll work from our office and just do a little bit of work with them. Simone and Sipowicz go to one of these fencers, one of these guys that buy illegal art. And as they get out of the car, open-minded Andy Sipowicz says, you know, statistics show 85% of these art guys are homos.
Simone's one of my favorite, like, one of my favorite things.
Simone says, yeah, huh? And he goes, yeah, 85% minimum. And then they go up to a guy who is playing Dylan, and the guy who's playing Dylan is a guy named Garrett Dillahunt, who was on Deadwood. He was also in a handful of other stuff. He was the dude that they first talked to, who has kind of the mop haircut.
It's really weird. I think the guy you're talking about, he ends up playing two different characters in Deadwood. It's kind of weird.
Because I'll be honest, I have not seen Deadwood, and they have announced the movie that HBO is making. But I saw... Because I remember... I know I've seen that dude's face before and things. He's been a character actor in a bunch of stuff. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll look. And like one of the big ones was Deadwood. And I was like, well, he's probably well-known by Kyle, who's a big fan of Deadwood.
I think he ends up playing, like, two characters, and, like, one of them is, like, super weird. One of them comes to this town because they have this whore there that's, like, young, and he's really into young girls. but, like, after he likes to kill them after. Like, it's this really weird side story. It's this really, really weird side story, but yeah, anyways.
Essentially, they talk to these art dudes who are 85% homo, according to Sipwitz, and they say, hey, you gotta be on the lookout for these paintings. We have a guy who's probably trying to sell them, and they were robbed off of a couple people that were assaulted, and they happen to know the prince and the woman because the guy who owns the gallery is familiar with collectors. This scene really has no like point with the entire story, so it really just seemed a way for Sipowicz to make those jokes about gay people, because as he leaves, he goes, 3 out of 3, statistics don't lie, as they get back into the car.
That dumbass shit.
And the only thing that was kind of weird is Dylan, because they say they were assaulted and the woman looks like she's going to die. And Dylan goes, she's going to die? Like, kind of like really concerned. And what was fun was one of the guys offers the cops coffee, and Dylan's like, they don't need coffee. And as they walk away, Simone's like, I could have done with that cup of coffee. Like, just kind of like a, fuck you, dude. They bring in Donald Carter, who owned the van that was used, and he just comes in and says, yeah, Larry Duncan stole my van. I was hoping he'd bring it back and then I'd fire him. Because he's Larry Duncan's boss. So they give him all the information on Larry Duncan, but he's really just there to go, yeah, another dude stole it. Then they get a break in the case when they get a call from another famous face who has information, Mike Roberts.
Yeah, Mike Roberts is back.
The original NYPD blue scumbag who, I mean, we're not going to go over everything he did, but he's a pretty big piece of shit in the NYPD blue universe. He's now a PI, and when he calls Jerry, the new PA, she goes, Andy, I have a Mike Roberts on the phone for you. And he says, does he sound like he's selling raffle tickets? And she goes, no, he says he has information on your case regarding the prince. So he picks up the phone, and while he's on the phone, Diane tells Simone that they're interested in her for an undercover job, but doesn't tell her the story, the full story, and Sipowicz gets off the phone and says, we got a mysterious deal from Mike, who's not telling us everything, but says we'll be very interested in talking to him. It seems like it's worth a trip. So they go to meet Mike Roberts, who, first thing he talks about is, I'm sorry about your kid, did you get my letter of condolence?
Yes.
Which he says, no, we would have written you back if we did. And there's kind of like this shock on his face, like, no, I sent it to you, I apologize, you're supposed to get that. And how's the baby? And he's like, it's fine, we're kind of pressed for time here.
Yeah, he's that guy, Mike Roberts is that guy.
He says that the princess was thinking that maybe the prince was stepping out on her, and he was. So he's got all these pictures of the prince with these women, and one of them happens to be Larry Duncan's sister.
Yeah.
So they don't let Mike Roberts know that they have a connection. They just kind of go, okay, we'll look into that.
Yeah, they don't let him know anything because they feel like he could fuck it up. And or something would happen, and he's gonna fuck something up, you know?
He also just doesn't respect... They don't respect him at all. Like, you can tell by the conversation, like, yeah, Mike, give us the info, and then we need to leave. Like, that's basically their attitude. When Mike Roberts is like, oh, these are my friends, my colleagues.
I feel like Mike Roberts, when he comes into the precinct... I think he forgets all the fucked up shit he did, and he just thinks, like, oh, it's fine, I used to work here, everyone's gonna be cool with it, even though, like, I may have killed a prostitute. He's still just kind of, like, cool about it.
Because they don't really get into Mike Roberts, I think he realized, after what happened to him, his wife leaves him, he has no friends outside of his job, and now they all don't like him because he probably murdered a prostitute, who... I think
murder him, he definitely did some shady shit to her.
He gave her drugs and whatnot, and he's trying to connect with Sipowicz because he feels like, oh, here's the closest I have to a friend. And Sipowicz is like, you have information. I don't have time.
So, yeah, I mean, like, minus Medavoy, there's really no cops left that, like, knew Mike Roberts well, other than Sipowicz.
And Fancy, who got rid of his ass.
Yeah, and Fancy hates him.
He does another scumbag thing where he says, the ex-wife is looking to get back together because of recent developments in my character, and then he makes a money motion with his fingers.
Yeah.
And Sipowicz just says, take care of yourself, Roberts, and starts to leave. So then Roberts has to get his final digs in, where he says, oh, and thank Fancy for all the courtesy calls to see how I'm doing. Where it's like, dude, you fucked up on the job. Like, you're not allowed to be passive-aggressive about that if you're the one that fucked up on the job. This is the point where they go back to the prince with this information, and the uniform cop says, this is a bad guy. And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, he makes a big show every 10 minutes about how he can't believe this, and then he tried to pull out a respirator twice during one of them. During each of them.
Yeah.
So then they bring him over to the side, and he's doing his shtick, and they basically say, well, you know, you don't have anybody else on the outside, anybody else that could keep you warm at night? And he's like, I don't believe this, I can't believe you're talking to me like this. And he's like, well, what about, and he says the name of the woman. And he's like, I don't even know what you mean by that. And he's like, okay, well, we're going to go talk to her. And they're like, and he's like, go talk to her, see what happens. As they leave, they're like, watch this asshole, make sure he doesn't get anywhere near her. Then there's another moment when they get back to the house, when they're going to talk to the woman, where Simone gets a call from Savino. And Jerry comes up to Sipowicz, unbuttons her blouse, and says, my undergarment is rubber. It's holding all my fluids in. And
yeah, that was really weird.
And Sipowicz kind of reacts the way I think any married man would, especially a man like Sipowicz, and he's like, what are you doing? Put your clothes back on. And then he gets off the phone with Savino, and he's like, yeah, Savino's not looking into the Shylocks, he doesn't believe it's credible. And then, as they walk to talk to the woman, Sipowicz is like, that woman's a menace.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, she's coming on to me. She's telling me her undergarments are rubber. He's like, how's that coming on to you? And he says, I'm telling you what her intentions are.
They kind of don't believe him, you know?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mixture of, like, why would she do that? No offense, Andy. And, like, she's might be weird, but she's not doing anything that bad. So he's not really bringing it to anybody's attention. They talk to Amelia, who is the prince's squeeze on the side, and she's playing dumb, like really dumb. And then they just bring out the pictures and they say, hey, so you do know the prince? He's like, well, does the prince know your brother Larry Duncan? And she's like, he doesn't know, he doesn't have anything to do with this. And he's like, well, there's Larry supervising his grab ass. Then she freaks out and says, he has to, like, beg for an allowance, and she's so mean to him. to which Sipowicz is like, can you imagine? So she gives up Larry so that she could possibly get out of acting in concert of a attempted murder. And they go to pick up Larry at a self-storage place, and Larry is played by Dean Winters, who is a famous face if you watch 30 Rock, Special Victims Unit, or any of the commercials which include Mayhem. I believe those are Allstate commercials? Because he's the dude from 30 Rock that says calls her a dummy or something.
Do you mean Dennis, her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like probably one of the best characters.
I haven't watched 30 Rock all the way through, so I don't know about this character, but he's the boyfriend who keeps calling her a dummy, I guess. That's the only thing I've ever heard about it.
He's hands down one of the best characters, like, secondary characters on 30 Rock. He's so funny. It's fucking hilarious. The shit he does and how he acts, it's so fucking funny.
It's also interesting that he's been on SVU for a couple of years, considering the other famous face that's at the end of this episode. But after they pick up Larry, Andy takes Jerry aside and says, and basically to set her straight, and Jerry starts talking about being cooped up in there and feeding off his energy, and he says, "Jerry, my opinion, you're 100% nut job, but we don't have to get but we don't have to get into that."
Yeah, he does not like the way Jerry came at him. It's kind of funny. Because it puts him in a... It makes him feel awkward.
They bring in the prince into the station house, and they get Larry to flip by just saying, "Oh yeah, the prince told us where you were." So he immediately says it was all the prince's idea. They bring him in, and the guy's very indignant, and he's saying, my lawyer will tell me where I stand," and they basically tell him, because the thing he says is, the American phrase we would use is, "You're totally screwed." He's like, yeah. I'll hear that from my lawyer, how screwed I am. They start talking about the case, and he says something to the effect of, "They didn't get OJ, they're not going to get me." And Sipowicz says, "You didn't bring some kind of wonderful thrills on the football field." The the prince says, "You don't even know what football is." And Sipowicz gives him a look that's kind of like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? It's pretty great. Eventually, they get him by saying, "Hey, dumb American jury, they might take a plea of remorse." And he starts writing it down. The only thing we hear about them later is he was asking for the watch he gave to Amelia back so he could pay for a legal counsel, to which she said he can go screw himself. After all that's over, and it's pretty much cleared, Diane tells Simone about the case, which should make him concerned because she used to drink with this guy, Jimmy Leary.
Doesn't she mention that to him, though? Doesn't she say, "I used to drink with him"?
Yeah, she says, we're a couple of micks, we drink.
I don't know what that means, a couple of micks. I don't know what that means.
I think that might be... I don't know if that's not a slur, but I don't know if that's a word for...
Drunks or something?
Drunks and or Irish?
Maybe.
I think I've heard that in a video game with Irish characters, so I'm not 100% sure. And he looks at her, and he's kind of concerned, and she's like, "I'll find other ways to keep him entertained, or keep him amused." Does that mean she's gonna fuck him?
No, I don't think she's saying that. I think she's just trying to say, like, "You don't have to worry, I'm not gonna drink with him."
She then leaves, and Simone tells Sipowicz to watch for possible drinking, because she's gonna be hanging out with this guy who she used to drink with. And the end of the episode, we meet Jimmy Leary, who's played by Christopher Maloney.
My Maloney.
My Maloney. He is, of course, from Oz, from SVU, from Wet Hot American Summer. He's on that show Happy. He's also... Yeah. I guess he was also in Sin City, which I did not remember.
I think he's in the second one, isn't he? Not the first one.
One of them. I didn't read it quick enough or well enough, I guess. But he just says, "Hiya, mouse," and makes every effort to get her to drink.
Yeah, he tries so hard.
He gets her a beverage. He basically... Well,
this TV show has shown me, if you're a recovering alcoholic, your friends aren't going to give a fuck. Because as soon as you, like, meet up with them, the first thing they say is, like, "Hey, how about a drink?" It's like, "No, I'm not drinking anymore." It's like, okay, fine. I'll have a whiskey, and then just bring him his favorite alcohol anyways, just in case he wants to drink. Because fucking Lois does that with Andy.
Uh-huh.
It happens to Andy a bunch of times where he'll go out and people are like, "Oh, you're not drinking?" And then I'm like, "No." It's like, "Okay, well then I'll have my favorite drink, and then get him his favorite drink just in case."
Just if he's feeling a drink.
Yeah, just in case he's feeling like breaking his sobriety.
It's
actually kind of interesting and funny when you think about it.
Well, because what's very strange is she doesn't say "I'm not drinking anymore." She just, like, keeps deflecting. At one point, he just says, "You need to drink with me, mouse." And she says, "I'll dance with you." And
yeah, she does that weird shit.
The episode ends with him trying to, like, kiss her, and she just avoids it.
Yeah.
Which was awkward and strange. There's mention that she pretended to move to Omaha, I guess. And he was like, "I didn't get any teary letters or any calls or anything." And she just kind of washes past it. And then they end with a dance together, setting up that he's going to be around for a little bit.
Now she's like knee deep in this investigation.
I forgot to mention, when we talked about Mike Roberts, that's famous face Michael Harney from Orange is the New Black. I guess he's in the new A Star is Born, and he's been in a couple things since Orange is the New Black, probably because of Orange is the New Black. Other than that, you got anything about this episode?
No, it's a good episode. These last couple episodes were pretty good.
Yeah, this episode also, this teleplay was done by Nicholas Wooten, who is supposedly heading up the reboot pilot, or not reboot, the sequel pilot. So, I mean, he was around during the good years. So, I mean, hopefully he brings that energy. Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and where you find a podcast, on Twitter at AstroBrosPod, Instagram AstroBrothersPodcast, so you can talk about the show with us. The schedule is every other Tuesday, but you know, life finds a way, as Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park, so sometimes things get pushed back or put out early, it just depends. But have a good one. Thank you once again for listening to the show. If you have a spare moment, please rate and review the show wherever you're listening to it, if they have ratings and reviews, so more people can see the show on their devices and maybe start listening and maybe start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue, which, by the way, if you're looking for a way to watch NYPD Blue, it is currently on Hulu and it is currently on Amazon, so you can binge all 12 seasons of the best show ever on those platforms, and you can also watch a ton of other stuff. They got great stuff to watch. If you need more NYPD Blue info in your life, there is True Blue, written by some of the creators about the first couple seasons. There is a book called An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, written by Gene Kendall. That's 99 cents on Amazon. Also, there is another book called What Would Sipowicz Do? It's a collection of essays about the show. I just got it. I haven't started reading it yet, but I will and probably talk about it on the show. Once again, thank you for listening, and thank you for watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue.